It's a lot of fun. The first step is to find a candidate. Mm-hmm. And I always encourage, I would do this for any party in any riding, is to have what's called a contested nomination. So instead of just picking the candidate that you want to represent the riding, you find a bunch of candidates and you leave it up to the membership of that party in the riding to vote on who they want to be the candidate. Mm. It's good to increase membership. It's just more democratic. It's more interesting. It's more fun. Mm-hmm. You'd be surprised how many in how many ridings parties don't have contested nominations at all. They just pick someone who they think will be best. All the parties have what's called a riding association, which is a group of volunteers at the riding level. Mm-hmm. Just to give some background there. And that group, the riding association volunteers, have a choice of picking one candidate or finding a bunch for a contested nomination. Mm-hmm. So we had a contested nomination up here for the provincial election for the Greens and for the federal election for the Greens.
Yes. And you mentioned that you had a very in-depth debate at that local party nominating meeting recently on whether or not your Green candidate should run. What can you tell me about that? How did this come up?
Yeah, it was an unexpected debate, but I think it was really healthy to have. So mm-hmm. we had two people who wanted to be the Green candidate. One was Natasha Akwenzi, and the other was Blake Martin. Mm-hmm. And the membership was there to vote on which one they wanted to be the candidate. The candidates were kind of explaining who they were, their background, what their values are, and then we had questions from the audience, and then we had a vote. But before the vote, someone put up their hand and said, "Well, maybe we shouldn't run a candidate at all." Mm. And their theory was, and we hear this, of course, all across Canada all the time, yeah, when it comes to smaller parties, that maybe we're just going to split the vote. Hmm. And in an election where it's going to be either a Liberal prime minister or a Conservative prime minister, maybe we should just support the Liberal Party in this riding because we think on economic justice, climate change, social justice, a variety of issues, we're much more aligned with the Liberals than we are with the Conservatives.
Right.
So this guy said, maybe we shouldn't run anyone, which was just kind of a disruptive suggestion to throw into the middle of an event where we were there to pick our candidate.
Sure, yeah.
But instead of shutting him down, I thought, you know, why don't we have this discussion? So I said, his name was Robert. Mm-hmm. I got to the microphone. I said, "Robert, thank you for bringing this idea forward. The proper way to deal with this is to put forward a motion." So I helped him draft a motion that we would officially decide not to run a candidate. Mm-hmm. And when you have a motion on the floor, that opens it up for debate. So I said, who wants to speak in favor of Robert's idea? Who wants to speak against? And we spent about 20 minutes talking about the pros and cons of why would we run a candidate in a riding where we know we have zero chance of winning, and we might even split the left and help a Conservative candidate win. Mm-hmm. And I can go over some of the details with you what the pros and cons were, but I'll go right to the spoiler, which is that in the end we voted unanimously, the entire room, that we felt it was really important for us to have a green candidate in this election, in this riding.
Mm. It's very democratic of you to raise it.
Thank you.
As a motion.
Thank you. It's in my blood.
In my DNA. Yeah. I am curious about what some of the pros were that came up. Could you tell me more about that?
Yeah, the pros of not running a candidate were pretty straightforward. It was really just a fear that if we got 3% or 7% or even just 1%, that might be enough to, if we were to, that might be enough of the difference between the Conservatives and the Liberals. Hmm. And that if we didn't run someone, we could help ensure that the Liberals win one more seat, which would help Mark Carney.
Yeah.
Fear that, you know, we could actually be doing damage to our cause by running a candidate.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I want to play you a clip. I want to do something fun here.
Okay.
I spoke to Green Party candidate Shane Phillips at the Toronto St. Paul's riding.
Okay.
And I asked him why he ran, and this is what he said to me.
Well, I said, you guys are playing a short-term game. if you are going to commit to a party, you should commit and have a long-term strategy for change. Change, the liberals and the conservatives always play a short-term game, election cycles to election cycles, and the liberals always say to their candidates, this is the important issue. Next issue, next cycle, it's going to be, there's another important issue that we can't split the vote on, right?
Yeah. So what does he mean by playing a short-term game? Could you break this down for me? I know it was a little noisy in the background there.
Sure.
What do you think of this?
Let me flip it around and explain what I think the long game is. So, if you look at the Reform Party, for example, which was in the 1980s, they started really small out west. I think in their first election they won only two seats, so they were very fringe, but they grew and grew and grew. They elected people all across the country, and arguably they ended up taking over the Conservative Party entirely. So, if you look at the growth trend of anything, whether it's a fad or a meme or a popular restaurant or a popular brand of shoes, they all started somewhere and they all started small. So it's really important for a political party to allow themselves to be small and to grow slowly in the hope that at some point they'll become a large player, a mainstream player. If every small brand, every small group, every small product, every small party quit because they were small, then we would never see innovative change. We'd never see entrepreneurial groups emerge into the mainstream because they were patient, because they played the long game. It's about patience, and it's about, you know, just having faith that if you keep working at it, it'll grow.
Yeah, so when we look at these parties that are even smaller than the Green Party, like Animal Protection Party, Marxist-Leninist Party, that have no seats...
Absolutely. I mean, people think the Green Party is small, but there's actually about 15 or 20 registered parties, and the Greens are, you know, one of the big ones that actually elects people to the House of Commons.
Dave, you've been described as fiercely optimistic, and I can really feel that coming out of you in this interview. You've used the word fun quite a few times. Where does your optimism come from, someone that's been very embedded in the Canadian political system on all levels of government, municipal, provincial, federal, and you've sort of been watching these debates unfold in Parliament? Yeah.
That's a good question. Yeah, I have been involved with grassroots movements, volunteer groups, you know, mid-sized charities, and I've also worked for politicians, you know, where I have to put on a suit and, you know, work at Queen's Park or at City Hall. And I think what inspires me the most is that at all of those different levels, there are amazing people, you know, really trying their hardest to make the world better. There are amazing members of Parliament, amazing city councillors, and most of all, really amazing volunteers and grassroots activists who have so much hope, so much faith, so much energy. And those people give me energy, and it's what fuels my work.